It's midnight in Montgomery. Just hear that whippoorwill. See the stars light up the purple sky.
Welcome back to the Jeff Porch Show at FM Talk 106.5. 251-343-0106. Time permitting, I will try to get to your text, but we'll see how that goes. Real quick, I since we lost the connection in the last hour, a programming note. Monday, Shane Stringer, Dale Jackson, and a guest to be named later. So in case you're wondering who's going to show up on the program on Monday, that's what's on the roster. But joining us now from a bale of hay in South Dakota is our returning champion, State Senator Chris Elliott. Senator, good morning. How are you?
I am doing great, Jeff. It's good to be with you. Just limited out on pheasant, and I'm watching my dog work here and pick up the last few birds that some of my buddies are shooting. So a beautiful day to be an American.
You know, I was I'm very appreciative that no matter where you are, that you make it a priority, because most of my regular guests would be like, "No, I'm not doing the Jeff Porch Show that day." But nothing gets in the way. This is why you are the returning champion, by the way.
Well, a lot of people wonder why you call me that, and I guess now we know. So there we are.
Well, that's not exactly why, but that's a whole other show, perhaps. Let's kick it off here. Back at home, we're still fighting over the medical cannabis stuff. And look, I'm like as plugged in as anybody. I don't really understand what the problem is here, why this is so hard, why you guys, did you expect these kinds of problems when you set this up initially? And Politico going around reporting that you may have to just scrap the licensing program and start over. What do you think of that?
It's frustrating. I mean, it's one of the most frustrating things about being a legislator is you set things up as best you can, right? But there are still rules and procedures that need to be adopted by whatever the body is that's enacting the law, the statute. And those rules and procedures have everything from what the application looks like and maybe how we're going to grade the application or how many megabytes the file can be that you upload. I mean, little stuff like that does make a difference. And you know, it's just frustrating when the implementation of the law that you pass just gets handled in a way that is clearly just a mess. And that's just hard to watch. You know, the other side of this is, you know, it prevents folks that could be benefiting from this drug from getting it. And as someone whose wife went through cancer and who watched folks, you know, getting chemotherapy, who had lost their appetite and just dwindled away to nothing, were in a ton of pain towards the end of their life, I really feel for those folks and want to get them some relief. If this is it, then fine. But it's frustrating while we juggle with the administrative rules and procedures and how to actually get it done, that these folks are in real pain. And the goal of the legislation was to fix that.
You know, it just tells me, Senator, that if you like this blockbuster hit movie, you're going to love the sequel. Gambling in Alabama and casino gambling, to be precise.
Well, you've got a good point there, and that's something that certainly does concern me. I mean, if we're going to have to be even more careful and more vigilant, because I do think this is a story that may be retold if we're not careful, and one that we need to watch closely. Because, I mean, you know, the head of the Cannabis Commission, John McMillan, is a smart guy, been around a long time, understands government, understands how to make this work. But, man, you know, what happens? There's a lot of money involved in medical cannabis. There's a whole lot more money involved in gaming. And I worry about the implementation, where the rubber meets the road, if you will, and how that's going to work and what kind of guardrails we can put on that in the legislation and what we just have to leave to the administrative functions of government. And that's always the scary part.
Well, and you know, a lot of the medical cannabis, it looks like to me, it looks like a lot of these guys, especially these out-of-state operators, are kind of functioning on the assumption that eventually recreational marijuana will come to Alabama and we got to get our foot in the door here.
You know, I don't think you're wrong on that, although I don't see that as the future in Alabama. I could be wrong, but I just don't see that being something that the Alabama legislature is going to get behind. And, you know, I could be wrong on that, but I don't feel the appetite for that at all. You know, the push for medical cannabis was very much about relief of pain, suffering of folks with terminal illnesses, and things like that could benefit from something that was different from just a really strong opiate, for example. And I think that was the selling point. I know it was for me, right? I mean, I sat there in those chemotherapy infusion rooms with my wife, and I watched the folks that really just whittled away, and I watched the ones that didn't show back up next week because they were gone. And you had to wonder, you know, would we have been able to alleviate some of that pain if we just, you know, if we just allowed it? And so that was what sold me. But I personally have no appetite for passing anything that deals with recreational cannabis at all. I'm not interested in that.
Well, maybe this is like a 10, 20, 30 years down the road game. I mean, who knows what the world looks like then, and how we change as a society, or what the federal government does with regards to this. But I just, that's why there's all this weird interest and weird, all these companies trying to get in on the ground floor, it looks like, and maybe that's part of the problem.
Well, it may very well be. They may be looking at what's to come and focused on that. We haven't gotten there yet, but that might be what they're looking at, and they're betting a lot of money on that. And trying to shape regulations and shape their position in the market based on a product that's not legal, that I don't think will be legal for, as you say, 20 or 30 years. I think that's a fair assessment. But maybe that's their plan. I'm not sure. But it does seem like a lot of them, with a lot of lobbyists and a lot of lawyers, are sure trying to gum up the works.
Joined by State Senator Chris Elliott here on the program. Senator, the other thing, Birmingham Southern seems to be the fun topic, and it's Jabbo Wagner versus Young Boozer. Senator Wagner there with your colleague in the Senate with an op-ed at AL.com. It looks like the way things are proceeding, that you guys, whether you like it or not, are going to have to revisit this come next session.
Yeah, and we talked about that some last week, just that I thought it was going to come back up. And that's another example, just like medical cannabis, where the law was passed. Everybody looked at it and said, this is clearly for Birmingham Southern, to help out Birmingham Southern. And that was certainly the legislature's intent. But there was some language in there that said that the state treasurer needed to look at it, needed to be comfortable that it was securing the state's position. I think that the state treasurer is doing exactly what the legislature asked him to do. The problem is we didn't get the outcome that we thought we were going to get. And so Birmingham Southern's in a spot where their financials don't satisfy the state treasurer. Their ability to collateralize their debt doesn't satisfy the state treasurer. And we thought at the time that giving him the ability to evaluate that was a good idea. And then now we, the legislature, are not getting really, I think, what we expected. It's our own doing. And I think you're correct. I think it's likely that the legislature will revisit this and simply say, look, we need to evaluate whether or not it's worth just giving this money to Birmingham Southern without recourse, or with recourse that is certainly less secure than what we might have expected the first time around. And there is an argument to be made for that. And while this is terribly important to Senator Wagner and Senator Smitherman, because it's real close to their district or in their district, it's close to, it's important to folks all around the state whose kids go there, who are in the middle of their schooling and have scholarships and play sports. And, you know, what is all of this going to do to them if this college closes? And then what is it going to do to the state's economy? So I think we need another hard look at it with a little bit, you know, wider eyes, and need to evaluate whether or not this is something we, the state, the taxpayers, want to weigh in on or not. I think we're going to have that conversation. I don't know what the outcome's going to be, but I think we're going to have the conversation.
Senator, something else, and you mentioned this maybe a couple of months or a month ago or so, but what are the chances that you guys are looking at another gas tax increase in the next couple of years? Because just based on the rhetoric of the ALDOC director and all these this wish list of projects and the infamous West Alabama corridor maxing out the credit card and potentially paralyzing the DOT. I mean, like, is this something you think that will come up?
I think that we have got to, the legislature has got to curtail the spending and really the manner of financing that this administration is using. That's the problem. It's not that there's not enough tax revenue. It's that we're not using it wisely right now. It's not that there's not enough tax revenue. It's that this governor's not using it to match federal resources so that we can, you know, make the money go as far as we can. That to me is what is frustrating, and should be frustrating to the taxpayers as well. Will future governors talk about a tax increase? I sure hope not. I think what we need to do is just make sure we're not borrowing, everything that's allowed to be borrowed under rebuild on a project that has no federal funding that could make the money go a whole lot longer statewide. And so I hope that we can convince this governor or just time will help us on that, to keep this governor from maxing out the state's credit card without any federal match and spending all this money in one place where it could be used to match projects in communities all around the state of Alabama.
Well, and we talked about this before. The Rebuild Alabama Act, and I know gasoline taxes in general aren't just meant to be for one place or whatever, but this looks like a giant wealth redistribution program, the way our financing for our roads and bridges in Alabama function. But, there's a certain, thing here, where you collect the most gas tax revenue is where there is the most traffic and likely the most need. I know that's not always true, but we sure have gotten away from that. And we're putting money in places that I don't think you can justify the expenses.
Oh, you're right about that. The justification for rebuild and how the money's is being spent is different from the justification on how it's going to be spent. There's no question. I mean, this was always the intention to rebuild Alabama. No, it wasn't. I mean, we talked about widening interstates, and the argument was, hey, listen, when you go back and forth to Montgomery and Huntsville and you drive through these areas that already have, four-lane interstates, we need to widen those areas to handle traffic more up and down 65, up and down 10, up and down 85. Those go through some very rural areas of the state. But the argument was it was justified to widen. It was justified to spend. The tax increase was justified because there were enough people traveling it that it was good for commerce. And we have really gotten away from that. And what we're seeing now instead is, under this veil of economic development, that somehow or another, if we build a road through an area with not a whole lot of folks living in it, and we borrow against, everything we can borrow against for the future, spend it all in one place, that's exactly what Rebuild was envisioned for. And that's not true. And that's not what was sold. And unfortunately, just like with everything else, the implementation is different from what the legislative intent was.
Well, it looks to me like you're getting a lot of bridge repair in DeKalb County or something, or a turning lane in Limestone County. Like, these are small ball projects, and I'm not saying there's not the need, but this is a far, far cry from what we, we're collecting. You're collecting gasoline tax revenue in Baldwin County, even though the people here are going to the beach or whatever, and that expenditure or that tax revenue is going to Sumter County for some kind of bridge repair or shoulder or repaving, resurfacing project. I mean, it just looks like you're taking from the rich and give it to the poor, or something like the Robin Hood Road Act of Alabama.
I've used that exact phrasing before. And it is a Robin Hood, effect to some extent. And again, the argument was, hey, Baldwin County, hey, Jefferson County, hey, Madison County, Lee, Tuscaloosa, Mobile. This is good for you because y'all drive these interstates too. Okay, y'all drive these roads too. And when you're going back and forth, it's not just getting spent in your county, but it's being spent to connect places. Okay, I can buy that. I can see that. I'm going to the Auburn football. But when you see instead the implementation being, we're going to spend all that we can borrow in West Alabama where there's not at the traffic count, instead of spending it to widen I-65, where certainly the traffic count and the need for commerce and everybody that travels that road would justify it, is frustrating. And especially when you look at the opportunity cost, when it's all state money, no federal money. And Jeff, they haven't even asked for it. And even if they did ask for it and get it, they haven't done the permitting required to use it. And that is just a travesty, and one that the next administration is going to have to really look hard at how to figure out how to make this work, because not even asking for federal money is offensive to Alabama taxpayers. Not even getting the permitting required to use federal money should it show up is offensive to Alabama taxpayers. It's offensive to somebody who voted for rebuild. It's offensive to me.
Well, they're not being straightforward with us, Senator. And this is my take. You tell me if I'm wrong or not, but they're doing it this way because they're in a hurry to get this project done before this governor leaves office, or at least have it where the next governor can't interfere and stop it. So they're rushing it, and they didn't even apply for federal money because they didn't want to take the time to do it. And they know that this project is a non-starter for most rational, sane people, but the governor needs this to cement her legacy. She had 10 years to cement her legacy, and now she's running up against the clock. So they're doing it this way, and it's the only way they can do it because they're running out of time.
I think you are 100% right with all of those statements.
All right, well... sorry to filibuster your remaining moments on this show, but anyway, we got to get out of here. It has been a pleasure, and enjoy your time up in South Dakota.
I will be sure to do it. Be back shortly. Thanks all for right. having me.
State Senator Chris Elliott there, our returning champion. We got to get a break here. Be right back. This is the Jeff Moore Show on FM Talk 106.5.
A couple guys in first class on a flight from New York to Los Angeles, kind of making small talk, killing time, flirting with the flight attendant.